Oh, it's a treat to look around and see more people than we had chairs for. What a gift that is. And to remember that Ernest Holmes, as we talk about his philosophy of science of mind, we recognize that it is a philosophy that is not something that is a dogma that we are supposed to believe and identify with and stick to. It's an opportunity to explore philosophy, to explore the ideas of the ages, to feel our way into a cosmology that works for us, and to remember that this is a friendly universe and it's all God. And so that is the basis, foundation of the science of mind, that there is nowhere God is not. There is nowhere God is not, whether we see it, whether we recognize it or not, in any place, in any situation, in anything that happens to us in our lives. And everyone's life goes through times of seeming trial and disconnection. It is so helpful to have people who remember for us when we don't remember that it's all God, that can hold that light for us when we lose it ourselves, and who can help call us back into the light, help us relax into this amazingly friendly universe, if we only have the eyes to perceive it. And tapping into those perceiving eyes in our friends and in each other and in our teachers and in these amazing writers who leave a trail that we can follow, it's just such a gift to have this philosophy, to have this opportunity, to have this kind of upliftment available to us that we can hold on to and come back to, even if we let go and come back. I've let go and come back in my life, too. I know how that feels. There is that doubt that comes with disconnection that is healed by connection. It's not fixing something that's broken. One of my favorite passages from Ernest Holmes comes from his book, Anatomy of Healing Prayer, where he said, "There is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated." And then paraphrasing the poetic paragraph that followed, he said, "There is only that to be revealed which has always been whole." The wholeness exists within us. There is that part of us that has never been violated. The quote from this chapter on page 33. Morning, Miranda. Welcome. We can unload a chair for you here. Maybe next to Bethany there we could squeeze in close. Yeah. Yeah. Ernest Holmes said, "God is always God. No matter what our emotional storm or what our objective situation may be, there is always a something hidden in the inner being that has never been violated. That essence of who we are, I like to think of it as a golden child." We talk often about our wounded inner children, but in addition to that piece of us that has been hurt and discomforted and gone through situations in life, in addition to that, there is a piece of us that is light, the piece that has never been violated, the piece that is eternal and infinite, the piece that is God in expression, the light that shines at the center of who we are. And I gave you the words of this song, "You Are Light," because being exposed to this song in 1985 was one of the biggest changes of my life. It was a huge turning point for me because I heard this song and I recognized the truth in it in a powerful way that I've continued to explore and understand now for 24 years. Isn't it amazing that all that time has gone by? But hearing this song, it took me to an understanding of who I am that I simply didn't have before. today I see people coming into metaphysics already so incredibly sophisticated in their knowledge. But I was in that place where I was depressed and felt like a victim. And to hear someone sing to me, "You are light," was a huge revelation. And so I am a wannabe singer rather than a singer. But I'm going to sing this to you because it means more to me with the music behind it. And I hope you'll be kind about the quality of my singing. And hear the heart that goes into it, because I want to share with you my experience of understanding that I am light. There's a singing in your heart and a light that shines in all that you are bringing through. I'm going to start again because I can do better than that.
Anybody else know it?
Yeah. There's a singing in your heart and a light that shines in all that you are bringing through. See it glow, let it lead you on your way. And the love you feel within is the love without which you know you would not be you. Watch it grow and remind you you're the way, 'cause you are light. Yes, you are, and that's the real you. You are light. Yes, you are, and that's the deepest truth. You are light, and your love is always shining through. You are light. There's a rising in the tide, and it's a rising that will never drop away again, leaving you with the truth of who you are. Let it filter through your mind, cleaning out the darkened thoughts that you were letting in. That wasn't you, and it's time you leave the dark, 'cause you are light. Yes, you are, and that's the real you. You are light. Yes, you are, and that's the deepest truth. You are light, and your love is always shining through. You are light.
Amen.
Yes. And so I realized in singing it while reading it that I left a line out. This whole day is a humbling experience. And I love the definition of humble that I read about in Science of Mind magazine once, that said that the true definition of the word humble, which we have often come to think of as sort of humiliated, is actually teachable. It's open to new ideas. It's the beginner mind. Humble is not being so full up that you don't have room for changing your mind and thinking in new ways. Mm. And the whole philosophy of Science of Mind can be summed up as change your thinking, change your life. And it really startled me the day I realized 10 years into it that if I was going to change my thinking, I was going to have to change my mind. I thought I knew a lot after a while, but one of Ernest's most wonderful statements that he ever made to me was in the final years of his life when he was in his 60s, he said, I am more teachable than I was when I was 20 and I thought I knew it all. And so the feeling of recognizing that this is an infinite universe and there is never the possibility that we will run out of things to learn and explore and experience and delight in. There is always more, always more. And in the first chapter of Science of Mind, he says, mind consciousness is beyond in that it is so big. It is within in that wherever we grasp at it, we are it. It is we are it to the extent that we grasp it. We can never, let me try that again. I'm starting over today. Mind consciousness is beyond in that it is so big. It is within in that wherever we grasp at it, we are it to the extent that we grasp it. But since it is infinite, we can never encompass all of it. We shall never encompass all of God, and yet we shall always be in God and of God. The divine nature is the truth of who we are. There is nowhere we can escape it. We cannot perceive it, but we always are it. And when we begin to think about creating our lives anew, I prefer to think of it as perceiving our lives anew, because there is not something to be created that we are not. There is simply something to be perceived that we already are. We are coming home to ourselves. The science of mind is about coming home to the truth of our being. And the truth of our being is so much more magnificent than we ever dreamed it possibly could be. That no matter how big a vision of who you are you have, how glorious and magnificent you think you are, it's not yet enough. There is always more. There is always that opportunity to slide into that little realization that you are loved beyond description. You are light beyond the sun. You are the radiance of spirit in potential on this planet. But the potential always remains potential until you choose to know yourself more fully. It is a choice that we have. We have free will. We have the opportunity to remain in the dark and choose the dark and choose those darkened thoughts that we were letting in that come from doubt and disconnection. Or we have the opportunity to choose to be who we really are, to let our light shine more brightly, to live in the love more fully, and to ask for help when we forget who we are, of the people who remember who we are. I've been having the most delightful time recently exploring the concept of these are the games connected people play together. It is so amazing to be in a place now where more and more I attract people who already know how to soar and who are willing to soar with me, who are willing to play with me, who are willing to celebrate who they are and delight in life and experience life at a higher level, at a higher vibration, and who feel that connection, who are drawn to that presence. And I don't know a single one of them who don't lose it. I will tell you honestly, I lose it every day, and I regain it more often than I lose it. So now more and more and more I spend time in joy and connection and celebration of life and light, because I am light and I claim it. And years and years ago, I had the opportunity to choose my license plate, and David and I were talking about what our license plates ought to be. And I thought, what is the message I most want to give to the world? And I chose, you are light. You are L-I-G-H-T is my license plate. That's how meaningful this song was to me that I heard 24 years ago. It became the message I wanted to give the world. Well, many of you have heard me say this before, but what I discovered is that it became the message I give myself most often, because I'm the one who goes out and gets in that car every day, multiple times in various parking lots. I am reminded that I am light, and that is the truth of my being. And there's this magnificent quote from a woman named Flo Avila Magdalena, who wrote a book called I Remember Union about Mary Magdalene. And in that, she has this prayer that Mary Magdalene teaches to a pregnant woman to say to her baby. And what she says is, "You are light, and light you shall remain. You are light, and light you shall remain. You have chosen to come into form. You have chosen this form. You are light, and light you shall remain." What would your life be like if you remembered more often that you are light, and light you shall remain? If you remembered that you have chosen to come into form and have chosen this form? This form. This body, this personality, this biography, this biology, this inheritance, this culture, these parents, these friends, this life. If you said to yourself, "I have chosen to be here as me right now, and I had a good reason to do it," what would it be like if you knew you had a good reason to be here as you today? How would it change your life? If you lived your life from that perspective, that you wisely chose everything that you came into, that all through your life you have wisely chosen every choice you ever made, the ones that you might think you regret, the ones that you might think were mistaken, what if every one of those decisions were a wise decision to bring you to this pinnacle of life that you're experiencing right now? Where you have the opportunity to choose to see yourself as the chosen one. All of us are the chosen one. All of us are the anointed one as we claim it for ourselves. I love it when I make myself cry. I know that the truth of my being is light. I know that I am loved beyond measure. I know that there is a voice forever proclaiming, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." I am that child of the light. And I know that for myself, and I know it as clearly for every single one of you. Every one of us is that light. Every one of us is a center of the power of the universe. We are it. We are it. We are that thing itself that Ernest Holmes talks about in the first chapter of the Science of Mind textbook. We are the thing itself. And we are here to learn the way it works and how to focus our attention on the truth of our being and allow it to transform everything. We don't come here to fix what's broken. We come here to remember what's true. And in the remembering of what's true, everything that appeared to us to be broken is transformed or falls away. There is no way to fix what's broken. When you're fixing what's broken, you're focused on the vibration of the problem. You have to come from the vibration of the solution. And it's a higher, faster frequency. So the answer is to remember, as Ernest says, that God is in, through, around, and for us. God is that very creative essence that we thought ourselves into being as. We dreamed ourselves up. We dreamed up this form, and it was the best dream we had from our non-physical perspective. Isn't that astonishing? I mean, we didn't choose to be born in Malibu and look like Barbie, you know. We didn't choose to have a life that was perfect. You did? Okay. Okay. That's all right. Yes. Each of us in our own way had a vision for this life. From our non-physical, eternal, infinite perspective, and knew it to be glorious, not just okay or enough or sufficient, but magnificent and powerful and clear and bright and loving, and absolutely from that place continues to surround us in love and support us with everything we've ever asked for. That's the truth. We live it to the degree we open to it. But that is the teaching of Science of Mind. And the more we can immerse ourselves in that understanding, the more we can change the limited belief systems and understandings that we were taught by our culture and our society. And everything everyone ever taught us, they taught us from love. They taught us to worry from love. They taught us to fear from love. They taught us to defend ourselves from love, because that was the highest teaching they knew. They taught us to sacrifice from love. But in a universe that's infinitely abundant, sacrifice becomes unnecessary. There is enough. There is beauty. There is grace. There is power. There is peace. There is abundance. There is glory, enough for all of us. And we can share it. And the greatest gift we can give to ourselves or another is to uplift our vision and to see from a higher level of consciousness. Ernest said that if you take a beaker of water and you drop some ink into it, it gets really mucky and you can't get the ink out. And that's how our minds are. We can't surgically remove the limiting beliefs from our minds, but what we can do is flood our minds with the clear water of expanded consciousness. And the more we take in that is clear and powerful and true, the more the rest spills over and is diluted into nothingness until there is clarity remaining. And we begin to feel more connected, and we begin to allow ourselves to think with the mind of God. The radiant mind of spirit is eager to be individualized through us. And this whole chapter is about how there is only one mind. There is the mind of the divine, and then that mind of the divine is individualized within each one of us who are also divine, to the degree that we allow that divinity to evolve in us. And so that individualized piece of the divine mind has the creativity of the mind of God. And I believe that creativity is what dreamed this entire universe into being. We are the result of the dreams of the divine. Each of us individually, all of us collectively, everything that is that dream being brought forward. And we have the opportunity to dream as well. We have the chance to focus our attention on what is good and what is beautiful and what is lovely and what is wholesome and what is healthy and what is happy and what is joyful and what is free and what is graceful and what is in keeping with the truth of our being, that we are light and light we shall remain. Whether we recognize it or not, whether do we dwell in the darkness and allow the dark thoughts to continue to think through our minds or not, we are still light, and light we always remain. We can see that light in each other. We can see that light in ourselves, and we can live that light more and more fully all the time. Ernest in this chapter says, "Learning to trust will make us happy." Learning to trust will make us happy. What is it that we can trust? Can we trust other people? Maybe not. Maybe we're not vibrating at a level right at the moment where other people show up in our lives as completely trustworthy. Can we trust ourselves? Maybe we haven't explored that too much in our lives. Maybe we live with a level of defensiveness about our choices that we've made in the past, about the things that we've done that we regret. Maybe we don't trust ourselves very well. Can we trust God? Well, maybe not if the trust that we have is in a God that's judgmental or that doesn't have our well-being in mind. What can we trust? Well, I think we can trust that the law of the universe is neutral, that what we put out comes back to us. And I think that we can learn to trust at a higher level every single day, that we can learn to trust God, that we can learn to trust that God is good, that we can learn to trust that our inevitable unfolding is to higher and higher evolution and grace and peace and power and truth and beauty and intelligence and creativity, that all of the qualities of God, whichever ones we choose to focus on, whether it's light or love or peace or power, that inevitable creative essence as we focus on it increases. I think that's what we can trust. And we can make decisions that say, I am willing to focus on that which I can trust, that which is eternal and infinite and powerful and beautiful and freeing. And we can choose to focus our lives and our minds and our attention and our intention on that which we can trust. And we can build trust. One thought at a time, one moment at a time, one powerful choice at a time. Because if there is nothing else we are, it's choosers. Every day and every moment we make a choice. We may choose to not choose and take whatever anybody else feeds us. Beliefs about ourselves that aren't expansive. Thoughts about the economy that aren't prosperous. Information that we are not beautiful unless we buy these 87 products and spend these millions of dollars. Or we can remember that we're beautiful now, that we're prosperous now, that life is good, that we're already blessed. As PETA said, there's 87 things that she can identify in 2008 that were good and she wants more. We can trust that as we focus our attention on the blessings, more blessings come. Mm. We can trust that as we remember who we are, more opportunities to shine come forward. More opportunities to be that light in the world, to be radiant, to be brilliant, to be illumined, to be enlightened, to be powerful, to be free, to be clear, to be happy, to sing, whether you know how to sing or not, to celebrate because life is worth celebrating. To express yourself because you have something to give that not one other person in this room or on the planet has to give. Because you are light. Yes, you are. And that's the real you. And that's the real me. And the more we come to understand that, the more beautiful our lives will be. And the more beautiful we make the world. Mm. Thanks. Mm-hmm.